Though may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please sit down. So I wonder how you feel when you get one of those brown envelopes that asks you to fill in a tax form, or whether you feel overjoyed when you receive a new notice of coding. No, it tends to leave a lot of us feeling rather cold, doesn't it? And they say there are only two things in life that are certain: death and taxes. Well, we know better than that, don't we? There's more that is certain for us as people of faith. But even in the Roman Empire, there were many, many taxes that had to be paid. The Romans were real experts at extorting as much as they could from the lands where they conquered. All that military might had to be paid for, a bit like today, I suppose. But all the administration, everything of the Roman Empire, it was paid for by the poor people who lived in those lands of the empire. And the Romans had quite a complex tax system. They delegated the collection of land tax and poll tax to local governors. Those were the big taxes. And those governors were then responsible for gathering that money in, paying it over to the Romans. But there were other taxes as well, lots of them. But the main ones that people were aware of on a day-to-day basis were customs duties and market tolls. And the collection of those was leased out. People bought the right. It was like a franchise system, really. They bought the right to collect those taxes. And mostly it was fairly high-ranking Roman officials who could afford to do that. But some Jewish people bought those leases as well, and Matthew would have been one of those sitting at his tax booth. And the Romans understood that local Jewish people would be quite good at collecting the taxes in if they could be persuaded to do it, because, of course, they knew the local customs, they knew the language, they knew the very people that they were taxing as well. So there's a Roman soldier getting their money in from the market trader. We can see which one looks more affluent, can't we? Now, as you might expect, the tax collectors were not very popular. They were traitors, really. They were regarded as traitors because they helped the Romans bolster their own wealth. And what's more, tax collectors were known to charge more than the Romans demanded, and then pocket the extra themselves. Well, that sounds pretty awful, doesn't it? But they did have to make a living themselves, and they had to pay for those leases as well. But it was a matter of degree, and it's known that many went too far. And this brings us to Matthew. We know very little about him. We don't know why he had become a tax collector. But he would have been considered as being unclean by the Pharisees, because, of course, to do his job, he had to associate with Gentiles and all kinds of people. He would have been regarded as a sinner alongside criminals and prostitutes. But Jesus was not like those Pharisees with those views. As he walked along, he saw Matthew sitting at his tax booth. Of course, we don't really know what it was like. He probably did have a piece of canvas over the top to shade him from the hot sun. We don't know if it was a crowded day or whether he was sitting there on his own. I don't know how you picture it. Or whether it was very busy. Was he having a hard day? Were lots of people crowding round and arguing with him about the rates of tax? We can only imagine. But Jesus saw all this. And now, if we can have the next slide, this is The most famous depiction of the scene, painted in 1599 by Caravaggio. Remarkably, it still hangs in the same church in Rome that it was commissioned for. Many famous works of art have, of course, moved from one location to another, ended up in museums or abroad, but it's in the place where it was intended to hang. It's a bit difficult to see because we've got the lights on, but over on this side there's Jesus and it's thought to be Peter standing behind him, and they enter the scene and find Matthew and four other men sitting at the table. Jesus points to Matthew, as he calls him, and it's thought that his hand has been painted in this slightly strange way within that context, to mirror the way God's hand is painted, calling in creation, calling life out of nothing. In the Sistine Chapel painting, it's the same hand, so Caravaggio is sort of honouring the painting of the Sistine Chapel. It's telling us that in doing this, Jesus is the second Adam, as St. Paul calls him in his letter to the Romans. Jesus, the second Adam, bestows life on Matthew by calling him, and a beam of sunlight shines on the men's faces, signifying a spiritual awakening. Matthew is the bearded man, and that's the way Caravaggio has painted him in other paintings. So although there are these other characters, and there's perhaps some ambiguity about who Jesus is pointing to, that is how Caravaggio shows Matthew. But of course, that ambiguity is probably also intentional, because Jesus sheds light on everyone and all of us. Matthew is also pointing to himself. He's saying, what, me? Me, the tax collector, the sinner, you're calling me? But then he just gets up and follows Jesus. Luke's gospel, in which Matthew is known as Levi, tells us that he then threw a great banquet for Jesus. In this morning's Gospel from Matthew, it's not quite clear where that banquet was or who threw the party, but Luke tells us that it was Matthew, thought to be in gratitude for having been called to a new life. And when the Pharisees complained, Jesus overheard them and asked, those who are well have no need of a physician, do they? But those who are sick. And he meant that his ministry was to include the healing ways that Matthew and other people in his position needed, healing of the ways of life as well as physical ailments. Today's gospel reading ends with Jesus saying, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, which is a reference back to the prophet Hosea. There was probably more than a touch of sarcasm when Jesus told the Pharisees to go and learn what it means. They may have believed themselves to be in no need of help. But we know, don't we, that there is not a single person on earth who does not need help and healing from Jesus. We're blessed to be here, to have heard Jesus' call to follow him, but know that it is not always easy. We know the risk of following what we might think is best, rather than what Jesus might want. But we know that he's never far away, and will always help us. And if we remember, his desire is for us to have mercy, mercy towards one another, but more importantly to those we encounter in need of mercy, we will be gladdening Jesus' heart of love. Amen.